Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Demons of Earth, a conversation with Plato Angelakis. Things get demonically bad. Plato Angelakis is commonly called upon for help. Frequently, people who come under demonic possession or oppression have no idea what they are dealing with. Sometimes it can be diabolical. Life can sometimes feel like a string of bad luck. Sickness, sadness, events that go beyond mental health issues or bad choices is what we're talking about. Sometimes something demonic is homed in on a human soul that is determined to destroy their lives. How does this all start, and how does one escape this never-ending nightmare? That's what we talk about today with exorcist Plato Angelakis.
Everything always escalates if left unattended to, and certainly, you know, no one goes out into a full-blown possession, or what people might call a perfect possession, where really outright, you just basically just say, well, I'm just going to give myself to the devil. I'm just going to, you know, go right out and do this. And this is what I really want. Where in those particular cases, they don't want help. They made a conscious decision to do whatever they wanted to do and sort of live their lives in a certain way and invite certain things to sort of participate in their life in that manner for whatever reason. And that's free will, right? So, but everything other than that will always lead up from something very small. And it could just be just a curiosity. And, many of those things are like paranormal investigators or teams that go in and decide, well, you know, got a call from a client. There's some activity going on. And the activity may not be a lot. It may be, sometimes those activities are just more of an annoyance or a nuisance. Sometimes the clients, they don't mind. They go, there's a ghost in the house. He's kind of okay. He doesn't kind of bother us. We just know he's there. Mm-hmm. In other cases, people don't want it. And they just, they find it to be a nuisance. And so they want to get rid of it. Well, then what happens is they go in and call some paranormal team. And of course they come in, they set up their cameras, you know, this is great. You have flashlights, all the meters, all the readings, all the gadgets, spirit boxes, you name it, everything gets involved, and off they go. And that's where I find most of the stuff starts to escalate. Okay. Because you kind of like kick the hornet's nest. And, just one fly here, one hornet here, one whatever, flying around, and just a bit of an annoyance. Now you kick the hornet's nest, you're starting to ask questions, you're starting to be inquisitive, and start to stir them up a little bit, if I say that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, what happens is, this has been a great night. We've had some activity. Wonderful. Thanks very much. And goodbye. And out the door they go. And then the client calls back and says, well, things have gotten worse since you've been here. So mm-hmm. That's one way of seeing escalations occur is, you've gotten in there and you've gotten things rolling. And sometimes people just need to leave things alone and just nip it in the butt right off the bat and say, okay, you've got something going on here. Then, let's pray it away. Let's pray it. That's all, you're not welcomed here. You can set boundaries. This is a very, very low level. This is very initial level. Okay, there's something going on in the house. It could be even demonic or the start of something. And you can just say, you're not welcome here. Get the holy water out, throw some prayers in, pray together. Most of the time, almost 100% of the time, it's going to go away, or it's just going to say, okay, we're not welcome here. We don't have the consent. Like I said in some other interviews I've done in the past, maybe even with you, consent is primary in what happens here. So when you give consent, they can cross over the threshold. You got to remember, we're knocking on their door. We're knocking on their spirit door. if it's a demonic world, God cast them out there because of their falling, all the fallen angels. They've got their own realm. We all call it what you like, but it's like a lower heaven in a sense. They're like it's still a spirit world. It's a bit above us, but it's not quite obviously as high as where heaven would be. So you know, when we go in and we start knocking on things and being inquisitive, asking questions, and you know, and who are you? Where do you come from? And you know, touch my shoulder, and you know, make this thing move, or let you know, make this flashlight lit up, or whatever. And you start asking questions: where'd you come from? And those sorts of things. We start to open the door in a way. We start giving them consent. One thing that we're taught is exorcist. Is we don't, you know, we ask for the demon. We'll ask for his name, for its name, and that gives us power over it. Having the name gives us the power over it. But likewise, if we know the name and we start to, you know, we're also told not to even mention the name. If you know the name, not to mention it on any circumstances, because you're basically invoking it. You know, you start calling out the name, and I'm not going to name any names because we're not
sure.
I'm going to do right now. Yeah, but you know, if you know a demon's name and you start, you know, calling it, you know, randomly, in a way, you're giving it kind of that indirect consent. Oh, well, you're calling my name, so I'm going to come. And then, you know, this is where the sort of things get started. So, you know, we got to be really careful. And like I said, what we say, how we say it, you know, and those sorts of things, because we can really indirectly give consent. And that's where they're allowed to come over the threshold. So they're not allowed to cross over to our realm, you know, literally. And we're not allowed that. We're not really, we were told in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in the Bible, we're not supposed to actually get involved and try to entice them on their realm. We got to kind of stay on our side of the border kind of thing. You know, we do things, they're waiting for us to give consent. Once we give consent, and then in any form that I may be, they start crossing over. And it starts with, you know, it could be an attachment. It could be whatever. You've called me, I'm here. Okay. I'm going to be nipping at your ear, you know, and then hoping that things will escalate. And this is what, and they're patient, right? They're spirit world, you know, for them, you know, a day for us is probably 1,000 years for them. So they don't care. You know, we got all the time in the world. But for us, you know, we have other things that go on and we want to get involved. We're very inquisitive, you know, and if you read the book of Ephesians, it's actually quite remarkable. If you really look at it from a perspective of, you know, sort of like a handbook for clergy, handbook for even for lay people. Ephesians, in a nutshell, says, I don't want you dabbling in the spirit world, period. That's what God wants. Just, no, don't dabble. It's not your realm. You know, that's, I really don't want you doing that. But then, you know, further on into the chapter, it starts talking about, well, if you're going to dabble, you know, know that you're not dealing with, you know, flesh and blood, you're dealing with spirit. And they don't play in the same rules that we play. They got a whole new playbook, right, than we do. So that's the next part of the chapter. And then it goes on, but if you're going to do this, make sure you have, you know, your protection, your helmet of salvation, your all those things that they talked about. Basically, it amounts to basically being a good moral character, being spiritually prepared, prayer life, you know, having your mind clear, not having anything. If you're going to dabble with this thing for some whatever reason, so obviously God or you know whoever wrote the Ephesians knew that we as human beings would be dabbling into this thing at some point, or at least being inquisitive. And so it's saying, you know, don't want you doing it, but if you're going to do it, you know, remember what you're dealing with. You're knocking on spirit world. You can very well be knocking on Satan's door, and he's going to answer. You know, that's plain and simple, you know. And, you know, this is what you really want. Well, you know, good luck to you. And then, you know, and if you're going to start doing things like that, make sure that you're going in with sort of that, you know, the prayer, the morality, the you know, that sort of good living, moral life. Because if you're not, then they will capture that and they will utilize that on you, and they'll look at your weaknesses, they'll look at your temptations and things, and then all of a sudden you have like a, and that's where it leads to the first thing of sort of the temptations, and of course, then you give consent to that, and of course, you know, being sinful, you know, and doing those sorts of things. And then all of a sudden they find windows of opportunity to jump on board. Mm-hmm. And then this is where all of a sudden you have an attachment. And that's why a lot of paranormal teams, when they leave a place, they may leave the homeowner or the client, you know, perhaps in a worse state than when they found them, because now they've kicked the hornet's nest. But likewise, these people are on their way home, and all of a sudden, you know, they start finding they have activity in their own house when they get home, mm-hmm. as an investigator, and they might wonder, well, what's going on. Well, I've got an attachment. Yeah, you probably do, because you know you've been there and you just brought something home with you. Then, of course, that spreads. Look at it as a virus, in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. You've exposed yourself to something, and now you've got the virus. You're bringing it home. So yeah, at the lowest level, at the very minute level, this is where it starts, you know. And then if it's not dealt with, and of course myself, you know, being clergy and others who are well trained, well prepared before they go into an investigation, you get the whole team. Do a prayer together, spread some holy water, oil on each other, those sorts of things, and then do the same when they leave, mm-hmm. and when they get home, I mean, I take salt baths. You know, I'll run a bath with holy oil and with a regular bath sort of thing, mm-hmm. I put holy oil. Anointed oil, so I say, exorcism salt, holy water, and then I'll lie in the bath. And then I literally have seen the bath with the water turn like gray to dark.
Really?
Dark. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like you said, well, there's no way I could be that dirty. You know, I wasn't playing out in the mud, you know. But yeah, you'll start seeing the water turn very dark, actually. And then, you know, you get up, you feel, oh my God, I feel so much better, so much lighter. And then the water goes down the drain and you shower and you get out. 15, 20 minutes. I do this often. I recommend it to many people who have attachments. I've melded the oil and the salt, because it's exorcism salt. It's not blessed salt. It's exorcism salt. Literally holy oil. They use baptisms and anointing for clergy. Like this is holy oil from the church. Like mm-hmm. being a bishop, I can anoint my own oil. So this is what I sent them. You know, I sent them a little bottle of sort of Dollar General, you know, that, like, you know, oil, mm-hmm. nothing expensive, you know, and then I sent them a bottle of that. And I tell them to go to the local church, because I can't mail open water, so let's just go and to your local Catholic church and get holy water, because mm-hmm. it's always free, you know. Mm-hmm. You just bring your bottle and fill up and go, and then also a box of salt, again very inexpensive, mm-hmm. and it can be multiplied. You take the salt, get down to the very, you know, get the halfway down the box, you could actually add more salt to the box, and next you know the box is it's all considered the same. It's like the multiplying of the fish and bones, mm-hmm. that Jesus did. We can do that likewise. Same with oil. You get down to the very little bit left holy oil left. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should last you forever, honestly. You know, you get a big bottle of oil, and you just go out and buy another bottle of olive oil and put that more, and the whole bottle becomes holy. So it multiplies, because you're adding to something that's already holy. It all becomes holy.
Wow.
Those are gifts. From the divine, and we can do those things. And so, I mean, I could send you something that could last forever, literally, that's a free gift, you know, mm-hmm. From heaven.
Yeah.
So you have the tools and you have those spiritual protective things and sacramentals, and there's a crucifix. You know, everybody in the team is wearing a crucifix. Everybody is saying the St. Michael prayer.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe, or visit thegravetalks.com.